everyone on my staff officers and sergeants knew there was a very senior officer up in headquarters that was dating a nurse, and he had a family elsewhere. Mm-hmm. His wife stayed back at Fort Sam Houston to take care of his quadriplegic child that had been injured. And it was so obvious. I mean, I even knew it. Mm-hmm. I usually didn't pick up on things like that. And they came to me and they said, how can they do this when that's going on and that whole hospital knows it? So I went up and talked to the hospital commander, and I said, my staff isn't going to let it slide. Mm-hmm. They're going to report it somehow. And boy, he did not like it, but I think he knew too. I didn't name any names, but he had the chief of personnel in there with him. Mm-hmm. For some reason, he wanted somebody with him because he knew I was coming to talk about that. I said, I'm all for him having to be reassigned, mm-hmm. but I will not give him a relief for cause evaluation report. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't make it, they could never make you as a raider change. They could threaten you, but they mm-hmm. couldn't make you change anything if you wanted to. And I said, I refuse to give him a relief for cause mm-hmm. Report.
Which would have been like you saying that he had done something wrong.
It would have ended his career. Mm-hmm. He would not have been promoted. And I said, he's one of my best instructors. It's an unfortunate thing that happened. But you got it going on right up here in the head shed. And if you can't do it to him. Mm-hmm. And boy, I got the glare of some males up in the head shed. And when I left that assignment, I did not get an award, and I would have, I'm sure, otherwise. Mm-hmm. Because I covered for my sergeant.
Mm-hmm. Did he end up not?
He did not. He got a good OE, he got a good EER. Yeah, I saw to it because he had been a good. And I refuse to mention why he was moved even. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just moved. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because he was heartbroken, but when he actually put his arms around me and was crying when I told him that he had to be moved. And later he came back and he said, Colonel, I was Lieutenant Colonel. He said, no, he never thanked me. He said, I'm really worried because my wife, when she gets through nurses training, is going to join the Army Nurse Corps, and you might serve with her someday, and you wouldn't tell her anything about this, would you? I said, no, Gary, I wouldn't tell her anything. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, it's over and out of my mind. Mm-hmm. But he never thanked me for doing that. It was interesting. Mm-hmm. And I really put my head out for him. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But, yeah, I think the enlisted women in all those services get hit on. And they're young and they don't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Officers should. Because most of them have been through college, you know, mm-hmm. get a degree and they can't be an officer. Mm-hmm. And even they have problems when they're in the line positions, because you read about it, it comes out every now and then. And it's probably more prevalent than you know.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned before we started the interview, you saw yourself as a soldier and an officer, and you said you had a specific order that.
Yes.
Your identities went in.
Yeah, and I told my nurses that. Uh-huh. If you're going to be a career officer in the Army Nurse Corps, you better believe that you're a soldier first. Uh-huh. Because you've got to identify with them mm-hmm. in order to care for them. Mm-hmm. And you're an officer second, which means you've got certain responsibilities and things that you have to do it behavior-wise and stuff, mm-hmm. and then you happen to be a nurse. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And did being a woman fit into that anywhere, or was that just not even an issue?
I mean, no, did you feel that you had to I had both male and female nurses. Uh-huh. I'd tell them the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that female nurses were expected to be any certain type of woman, or you know, to be feminine, or to not be? Was there any pressure to be anything like that?
No, there wasn't. Uh-huh. But you had to conform to certain dress codes. Uh-huh. And for sure, they couldn't, you know, you read about don't ask, don't tell. Well, that was never heard of back then. Mm-hmm. You certainly could not be outwardly gay or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was you know, just understood.
Uh-huh.
And
did you ever hear of anybody that was homosexual,
sure,
but not talking about it?
I'm sure.
To stay in?
I'm sure of it. We were, when the don't ask, don't tell thing came out, we had to, senior officers had to go to courses about it.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, even before that, there are homosexuals in the Army, gays and lesbians, there's no doubt about it.
Uh-huh.
They just keep it under the, you know, under the, they don't tell about it.
Uh-huh.
And I would never prove it and wouldn't want to know, but there's no doubt that I had, you know, officers, both male and female, that I suspected.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I never married, and if you were female and never married, you're either a whore or gay.
Mm-hmm. Did you face people thinking that
about
you?
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
And how did you handle that?
Oh, I just ignored it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I knew what I was.
Uh-huh.
And of course, and especially in assignments like Vietnam, because they wanted to date. I mean, married men wanted to date you.
Uh-huh.
And, all the docs were married.
Uh-huh.
And they were about the only officers we had. And even the most of the MSCs that were married, that would be the administrative staff, officers,
uh-huh,
side of the house.
Uh-huh. And so if they
asked
you out.
Some of the nurses dated him, and,
uh-huh,
you know, some chose not to because they didn't think it was right.
Uh-huh. And so if you said, no, I don't want to go out with you, did they then call you names or?
No.
None of that? It was just dropped?
No. I mean, they didn't, never to your face, never to your face.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have any problems with nightmares or flashbacks or any of that when you came
especially
home?
Especially now.
Mm-hmm.
And especially during the Gulf War, because I sent all of my nurses off and
uh-huh,
I stayed back.
Uh-huh. And yeah, it kind of started then, not immediately when you came home, but later?
Yeah, I had panic attacks when I came home.
Uh-huh.
I'd have to be in a grocery store shopping and all of a sudden I couldn't stay in it. I'd just leave the basket and go,
uh-huh,
type things.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I remember being up at a ski resort because I was stationed at Fitzsimmons, and I was sitting at the fire waiting for some friends to come down to go to dinner, and the fire cracked 3 times, and I went on the floor,
mm-hmm,
and everybody looked at me like I was some sort of a nut.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm awfully sorry. I just got back from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then I got glared at.
Mm-hmm.
A woman in Vietnam, I said, was a nurse, and that sounded like gunshots to me, and
mm-hmm,
but I was, that, you know, I still was looked at very funny.
Uh-huh. Huh. Did you ever have any kind of treatment for this, or?
No, I felt I could handle it.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't until I retired. It was interesting. I read a book by one of the gals that had been one of my nurses from Vietnam. And reading it brought a lot of stuff out. I don't watch war movies. I don't watch anything about Vietnam. Well, you got to watch the news nowadays, but I try to avoid a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
I've got a lot of books on Vietnam that I've never read. I've got a lot of VCRs on Vietnam that I've never watched.
Uh-huh. And which book was this that you read?
I'm trying to remember it. To Save the Fighting Strength, because she was very negative about the war. This young nurse,
mm-hmm,
and the Army's medical department's motto was to save the fighting strength,
mm-hmm,
but she put a negative tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was by Lynn Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that book?
I think so. Yeah.
We were on the same one. In fact, she took over my job as head nurse when I left.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the stuff that she wrote in that book brought some things out for me.
Uh-huh.
And I actually wrote her a letter and thanked her for writing the book. And of course, those people who write those books write them for themselves,
uh-huh,
to for the most part, to get things out.
And so you like that book? You thought it did a good job of kind of presenting what you
But I don't like the books that, like, there was one, I forget her name, I didn't read her book. That's the only book I've read was Lynn's, because we had the same chief nurse, and she sent me a copy of it. And said, Barbara, I really think you'd like reading this book. In fact, you're mentioned in it. And so I did. And a lot of it, the first part of it was about her and her life, and then we got into Vietnam, and the experiences, of course, were the same ones that I had had. Other books that talk about nurses being on drugs and giving excessive amounts of medications, I don't believe that happened that much. I don't think on either tour that I know marijuana was smoked, especially on my second tour, because I was a night supervisor, and as I walked around, I could smell it. The doc smoked it sometimes. The corpsman for sure smoked it. But I don't know a nurse, either one of my tours, that was dealing in drugs or that would do something out of the ordinary for a patient. I just remember at one time, I got to go because my ride's going to be leaving. One time we had a patient, he coded twice. He was a triple amputee, and he coded twice. And the second time after he woke up, he looked at the doctor, he says, please don't do that to me again. And so the doctor just looked at us all, and he said, we're going to respect his wishes. So when the next time he coded, we didn't call code. How'd I get on that? Normally you would not, in the States, you would never do a thing like that. You'd have to have all the paperwork.
The DNR stuff, right.
But that's the only time I remember anything like that happening. And I find it hard to believe that I don't know if you've read any of those books where nurses talk about being on drugs. Maybe they were, but I don't think, for the most part, that many were.
Don't think it was too widespread.
And I don't think they did any euthanasia either. I just don't believe it.
Right. Was there anything we didn't talk about?
I don't know.
Wanted to talk about? You know, something you'd wanted to mention?
No, I think I've pretty much given it all to you.
Very well, I really appreciate it.
Except that everybody deals with the experience in a different way. And I try to look back on the positive things and the camaraderie and the friendships that will always be there. Like I say, who was it? The famous writer that said the best of times and the worst of times. And that's what it was. It was the worst of times for sure, but it was also some of the best of times because of the friendships you made. And working together and not having to worry about whether somebody was a different color than you were, different religion. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if the patient, every patient was treated the same, black, white, blue, green, you know. Like I said in the beginning, we all have the same color blood. And we all come from the same place.
Great. Great, I really appreciate it. Very helpful.
Okay.
Well, in the interview.
Okay.